This is Phil Farrand.
And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I'm actually leaving regular time from work. So, here, let me adjust this a little bit. And I'm just waiting for my phone to sign on.
And then you
coming
sense.
Up, and then we're going to shut this off. And now we can just go without having interruptions. Been a good week. We're puttering along. Things are getting done at work. And it is now 5 weeks until I go halftime. So looking forward to that. I'm like, telling myself, okay, you know, you're not working short days yet. I do have a little bit of relief here. Not relief, but schedule changes a little bit in that Dustin is off from paramedic training until mid-June because he's on a break. He just, you know, completed whatever semester he had. And so that's reduced the number of times that I have Aiden. So, like, this week it was Monday, I think, and it'll be tomorrow. So, going to the restaurant tomorrow or having pancakes. So, as opposed to 5 days a week, it's down to, like, two. However, we are launching pretty soon here. We're launching into more clinics. And so, that's going to be, is it called clinics? I think. Anyways, that's where he has to go and actually work in the hospitals and all that kind of stuff. And so then he has to not only work and take classes, but he has to work in the hospitals as well. So that's when his schedule just packs up. So he's going to have more of that coming up. Clinicals, that's what it's called. And so there's going to be, you know, more of that stuff, which is fine. We're going to be fine. We're fine. All is well. So that's going fine. Writing is going fine. I'm on chapter 13. I think it's 13. And I'm over 70,000 words, and I have, you know, if I can get myself up to 75-ish thousand words through the weekend, then next week I have another week, and you know, I can easily get to 80,000, which is where I need to be. I like to be at 90,000, but you know, at this stage, being at 80,000 is good enough. So that'll be that, and then I'll get back to book 22 and start working on getting the edits done for that. So that's all fine. Costume is still going fine. I'm just puttering along with the outfit of the day, and did a test run of that out on my porch this last week so I could see how tall it would be, and it's very tall. So, and I won't be able to do grocery shopping in that, so I have to have an auxiliary costume. So I'm making those plans as well for the auxiliary costume so that I can put that on when I go to actually do my grocery shopping. You know, getting all those details worked out. But it's going to be fine. I need to get, of course, that all done so I can get back and work on the Marvin the Martian costume. But that'll be fine, too. So all is well. We're doing well. I have switched my eating schedule because I saw some guy talking, and I had heard this before, and then he was explaining why you shouldn't eat 5 hours before you go to bed, because it raises your body temperature, and it makes, you know, your body's like working then, and then you won't get a good night's rest. And I actually proved that out this week. I hadn't been seen a buddy in a long time, and so we got together on Tuesday night, which means I broke my fast on Tuesday night as opposed to Wednesday night. And you know, I have been trying to not eat after about 4:30, 5 o'clock, because I get in bed at 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I've been sleeping fine. I've been sleeping good, and then Tuesday you know, we ate, and then I ate some more, and then I ate some more when I got home. And land almighty, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, it was not good. I think I only got 4.5 hours sleep because I just popped awake early in the morning, and I was just awake. I was awake. I was awake. That was that. So I'm like, yep, this is why you don't eat 5 hours before you go to bed. So I am going to drop into the Walmart here real quick and get a little snack because it's 4:30. And so by the time I get home, I'm going to be done eating for the day. And I think I'm going to go get myself some boiled eggs and maybe a little bit of salami. And we're just going to munch as we go home. So as opposed to eating while I'm doing this podcast, I'm just going to go ahead and finish this podcast up and then go in and get something to eat. It's interesting. I've been following all this. I had mentioned this before of all the things, you know, now you tell us. And I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago about Jake, or the reporter who worked with Jake Tapper on the book, I think it's called Original Sin, about the Biden family cover-up. Well, in order to promote this book, Jake Tapper has actually been going on to conservative media and talking to conservative media, and he did an interview with Megyn Kelly. I was about to say Meghan Markle, and I was like, nope, that's not right, Megyn Kelly. And it was a pretty fiery interview, and you know, of course, people are just descending. And this poor guy is getting it from both sides now because the conservatives are like, sure, you're saying you didn't know now. Because he keeps saying, look, I don't see that it was a cover-up as far as I was concerned. The Biden White House, they actually, you know, they deceived us. And people are like, are you kidding me? So there's been a lot of really interesting things come out of that. And of course, now, poor Jake Tapper, he's got a whole bunch of people mad at him from the Democratic side. And then he's got conservative commentators talking about how they're trying to scrub the blood off their hands now. And so you got the people who are jumping ships and trying to blame it all on the Bidens and blame it on the Biden White House. And so you've got... who was this? I didn't write down the guy. This was from Fox News. He was talking about how that the Democrats and media outlets are now admitting to covering up Biden's mental decline, with major publications like Political, New York Times, and Washington Post describing Biden as an ailing geriatric leader, quote unquote, and quote, enfeebled, quote unquote, and, quote, an elderly, egotistical president served by a slavish coterie of loyalists. I mean, the knives are all coming out at this point. Also in this report, they were talking about how the media is now pointing fingers and asking each other what they knew and when regarding information that many people already suspected about Biden's condition. John Stewart had an interesting take on it. He basically said, so the news is selling you a book about news they should have told you when the news, it was news for free. But to actually frame the news as even more reason to buy the book, you know, and he says... But they're actually framing the news as even more reason to buy the book because they didn't tell you, you know. And he said, look, this is a terrible cover-up because we all knew it was a cover-up. So anyways, and then there's criticism of course, the news anchors profiting from not reporting the news earlier and instead writing books about it. I mean, even The View is jumping in and they're saying, all he's doing is hawking his book. When did CNN become the place where you just hawk your book? Other people are saying they're all complicit. Apparently, Jake Tapper also hired a crisis PR expert. And he kept saying, well, it's, you know, being wrong isn't a crime. And now he's saying, look, you know, there should be a lot of soul searching. Conservative media's actually got this right, but he does not accept that he was part of a cover up. Okay, one of the conservative media people said, okay, great. So now they're willing to admit that they were wrong about Biden, and they were wrong about saying that he was never better than he is now. And of course, somebody said, so are they eventually going to come out and say they were wrong about Trump and maybe he's not Hitler? You know, or are they just going to keep saying he's Hitler as well? So a lot of interesting stuff. It's going to be interesting to see. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are pointing out stuff like, so Tapper admits to not seeing what many others saw regarding Biden's fitness for office, despite polls showing that 72% of the country didn't believe that Biden wasn't fit. 72%. And they just couldn't see it. I mean, they just couldn't see it. It's like, what? Somebody actually sent me a link today. It was my daughter, sent me a link that some agency has now opened, or some senator asked, like, the National Institutes for Health to open up a new study to study Trump derangement syndrome. As, you know, they want it listed as a legitimate mental illness. Oh, man, this is interesting. So, you know, we'll see. You know, so, and of course, now that all these books are coming out, now all of a sudden, and it's hard not to be cynical. I mean, it's just really hard to be cynical, Because now, after all this stuff is coming out, you know, of all the problems there were, now poor Joe Biden, you know, we find out that he has advanced prostate cancer. And so now we're all supposed to just be sympathetic. And now there's people saying, look, it's water under the bridge, okay? It's water under the bridge. Why do we keep bringing this up? This poor man has cancer, and we should just move on and forget that we're... Okay, sure. I mean, it's really astonishing. Because they just said, look, we know he made some comments, but, you know, Joe Biden has been saying stupid things for decades. Oh, man. So, yeah. I mean, now it's coming out that Biden was actually held away from his cabinet, that he just didn't even have cabinet meetings. And then who had the auto pen? And why were those so many pardons? And did anybody get paid for these pardons? There's so much going on now. Yeah. So it's all going to be very fascinating to see when it all comes about and how many people can just say, oh, yeah, well, we're moving on now. Okay. Sure. Such a fascinating time to be alive. It's just so fascinating. And I have no idea where all this is going to end up. I know that God is good, and he's kind, and he's generous. These next 5 years are just going to be so interesting. Yeah. So, anyways, I am going to run into Walmart real quick, get myself a snack, and then head home because we've got small groups tonight. Have a wonderful weekend. I haven't actually made it home yet, but I will be there soon. Happy Memorial Day. Let us remember this weekend that there are those who sacrificed everything for us. And I can't hit a Memorial Day without thinking about being in the Philippines and visiting the American Cemetery there. Such a beautiful, beautiful cemetery, but extremely sobering to see that many crosses. Thousands and thousands of Americans are buried there. And, yeah. God is good. And it's amazing that America has survived as long as it has. And this Memorial Day, we need to thank every veteran we see. So have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.